It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
G'day, Mike Hussey here, but you can call me Mr. Supercoach. KFC Supercoach BBL is back and there's 25 grand up for grabs. So what are you waiting for? Play today at supercoach.com.au.
T's and C's apply. New South Wales authorisation number TP/01005.
Yablet! Four goals to Yablet.
Oh, Jasmarenko, you're guilty!
Justin Madden's got the sit. One hand.
The post is broken. Matthews hit it. Talk about a He-Man.
Dream rises to the top. He is an absolute legend of the game.
This is your football life with Rex Hunt for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Oh, g'day to you, Matthew, and g'day to you right across the nation and, in fact, the globe by the World Wide Web. This is your football life. Now, in the VFL and AFL, thousands of men have played the game at this, the highest level. Some play and move on. Others have more of an impact. Today's guest has had a great impact. Not only as a fantastic player for the Caringbush, Collingwood folks, and later on Sydney up there at Harbourside, but his son is just trailblazing his way through a great career in his own right. Our man today played 240 games at the highest level. 212 for Collingwood, 28 for Sydney between 1974 and 1986. Is Collingwood best and fairest in 1978 and 83. And a great honour. He is half-back flank in the Collingwood team of the century. And a special thing my producer, Mitch Cleary, didn't know. He was the result of all the scars on top of my head because he climbed over the top and took some of the best marks the game's ever seen. He's Billy Picken. Billy's on the line. And what great memories we have, young man.
Yeah, that's true, Rex. Started in 74 and battled away for a lot of the years. And, great memories. Yeah, they were great memories.
Take us back to the boy in the shorts at MacArthur with your old man, the local butcher, and you kicking a footy and playing cricket. Tell us a little bit about the little Billy Picken.
MacArthur was a great place to grow up. It was a soldier settlement type town. There was lots of kids and... our spare time was spent on the market square, kicking, playing kick to kick, swimming in the local river, the Umarella, and having access to all sorts of sporting facilities. It was a wonderful place to grow up, and I learned how to play cricket and football in that town. And I've got a lot of fantastic memories of that place.
Billy Picken has joined us, folks, and it's a great thrill for me because I had the honour of playing on Billy. I don't want to expand my career on Billy because it wasn't that flash. However, when did a little Billy Picken think, I love this game so much, I'm not bad at it. When did you become what you term, say, I can play this game a bit, and people started to take notice of you?
We didn't have a lot of junior football. It was under 17s at MacArthur, so you started at an age of about 10 or 11 and you hoped you were third emergency. That's how it started, and we had some success. And I wanted to be a league footballer. It was a dream of mine. I used to run around with number 10, St Kilda jumper. Number 10 when I was a small boy, Carl Dittrich,
yes.
And I wanted to be just like him.
Yeah, and he inherited the number 10 from a Brownlow medalist, Neil Roberts. So that was pretty high stakes. Did you know a lot of, although there was only, a little bit of, say, the winners on Channel 2 and, say, a bit of footy through 3WM, through the Wimramalli, who were some of the high-profile players that you first were aware of as a kid?
I suppose the ones where I collected the footy cards. Until I went to Collingwood when I was 17, and it was such a strange feeling. Here were my idols, and I was actually talking to them, and they knew my name, so it was quite exciting. But
yeah,
like we followed VFL footy on the wireless. I can still remember when St Kilda won the premiership.
In 66,
I can still remember the kitchen I was in when it was so exciting for me, and when they beat Collingwood by 1 point.
And you end up going to Collingwood. Let's get to Collingwood as a 7-year-old. What was the circumstances of the journey? Now you've got to go draft and then you trade. Before that, you know, if you're in a zone, was that MacArthur zone in Collingwood's area?
Yes, it was.
Yep.
The famous Collingwood legendary fullback Jack Regan picked me up one, saw me play and picked me up, and I went to Melbourne High School, and when I was 17, and I think I started playing league footy. About the fourth game was against Carlton when John Nicholls broke the game's record. I think 322 games.
That's it. Yep.
All my life, I wanted to play one game of VFL footy, and we lined up outside the visitors' rooms at Victoria Park, and he ran out, and I thought, "What am I doing here?"
And 239 games later, it was 240 for you. Did you have a dream as a kid? You know, I know the dream was just to play one game, but it was an evolving sort of situation. You weren't that tall for a centre-half back. You know, I think, you know, 6'1" or 6'2" or something like that. But you went down to Collingwood first up as a 17-year-old as a forward, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I played that game against Carlton. I played on Jeff Southby.
Oh.
Which was a hell of an honour, and my first two kicks in league footy were goals. I can remember that. So but he was a fantastic player, and just to play on, just to see him in flesh and play on him was just brilliant.
Yeah, we're listening to Billy Picken on This Is Your Football Life, brought to you with the kindest regards of Tobin Brothers Funeral, celebrating lives. Now, don't get nervous at all with the Tobin Brothers. I can get you a discount there, all right, Billy, but we're celebrating the lives before we put people in a box and find out what great people they are. So we really appreciate your time. Tell us about arriving. Was Murray Wiedemann one of your first coaches before Tommy arrived, Tommy Hafey?
Neil Mann was my first.
Neil Mann, yeah.
Yeah, and Ronnie Richards, Lou's brother, was the reserves coach. And
yes.
Ronnie was fantastic to me.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, he's a great man. And in those days, we had very few coaches. And but he really took a shine to me. And he was really supportive and gave me a lot of confidence.
Yes. Tell us about the culture at Collingwood. You know, the collie wobbles is a well-used term. Lou Richards himself buried the collie wobbles in 1990 at Victoria Park. Did you find the expectations at Collingwood were really off the planet? In other words, you know, the adoring fans, the cauldron of Victoria Park, it was just some environment. And I can tell you, as an opposition player, it was quite frightening to come out there.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you'd walk in the rooms and there was a certain smell about it. It was. And the supporters expected, you know, a lot. They were passionate and still are passionate. It was an unbelievable environment. I mean, I was just glad to play VFL footy. And at the start, you're glad to play for any side, if you know what I mean. And,
yeah, I do.
I was very lucky when I first went there. There was the Richardson brothers, Barry Price, Georgie Bishop, who I see a bit at the Bulldogs games.
Yeah, Lenny Thompson was
Lenny Thompson.
And a bloke who kicked a few goals called McKenna.
Yeah, and Peter McKenna.
Oh, goodness me.
Yeah, I can remember coming out from training and there'd be, you know, 100 people surrounded in his car.
He Amazing.
Was, you know, he was a superstar, and like his kicking for goal was just out of this world.
Yeah. You later developed, and I don't want to embarrass you, into what I, my judgment, and I've been around a while, not necessarily, you know, a great player or anything like that, but I reckon you were one of the game's finest centre-half backs, and I can very rarely remember you punching, but it was a different game back there, but you had the supreme confidence that if you had your eye on the ball, that the mark was just a lot better than a punch where you put it into a 50-50 situation. When you mark the ball, you control the ball. It was a special type of era in the VFL, particularly for the fans, because it was great to watch, Billy.
Yeah, well, don't tell Spud Frawley that, because... but, Look, I grew up in an environment of kick to kick.
Yeah.
I can remember at training, we'd start off, we'd come out and do a lap and then have kick to kick for 20 minutes. And as a small boy, you know, I was involved in a lot of kick to kick. And yeah, it was just exciting. It was just a thing had come through your body. I just want to go for this mark. And look, there was a lot of contested marking in those days. Mm. But I wasn't the only one. I can remember one game, Rex. I played on you at Victoria Park, and champion data or whatever they're called these days, I think you took 18 marks and on me. And
it must be a typographical error there, Billy, because used to clean me up, mate.
I can still remember that game because in those days, coaches didn't shift you.
Yeah.
And they just left you playing on someone and they just keep an eye on you. But
also, I think you'd chuckle with me when you say, oh, you know, this bloke's had a fantastic game. He's had two contested marks for the day. Like,
yeah,
blokes that took a mark, you know, like Gary Dempsey and yourself and Graham Moss, mate, they'd take 12 marks every week and 12 of them were contested.
Yeah, and we had Peter Knights in those
times.
And
goodness me.
Like, you play footy against him and you just you're supposed to be playing against him, but you're just admiring taking marks.
How'd you end up at centre-half back? Couple of goals against Southby, hey, that's okay. But all of a sudden, you go to centre-half back, you become a household name, and you're in the team of the century as a half-back. How did that transition happen? And tell us a little bit about the big names you played on week in, week out. Billy Picken, there was no respite.
No, there wasn't. And my first game at centre-half back in my second year, I had a really good first year, and then the second year, they were punching the ball away all the time, so I started to struggle a bit, and Ronnie Richards suggested that I play centre-half back, and my first game at centre-half back was at the MCG on Roy's Hart. So
oh, goodness.
There was some sleepless nights, I can tell you,
because,
you've seen him at his best, and
yep.
I had the pleasure of that too, and
it's the way he came in from the side. You see, I had nightmares playing on me in a practice game, Billy. But you did okay. Don't talk yourself down. But I mean to say, do you subscribe and does your son subscribe that the only way you can prove is to play with blokes who are better than yourself?
Yeah, you do. Like, it was just, how was that to play on him? I thought, how good's this? Like, Hart was supremely fit.
Yeah.
So professional and just kept moving around all the time. He was a modern day, that would have been 75, 76.
Yeah.
Imagine him in today's football. He just would be unstoppable.
Yeah, no worries. We're going to take a break. We're talking to Billy Picken, and this is just fantastic for Tobin Brothers, celebrating the footy life of Billy. And before we take a break and come back right around Australia and the globe, Billy, Does somewhere in your makeup just say, what if playing in those four losing grand finals? Because, you know, I was lucky enough to play in a couple of winners and keep on going to funerals these days, unfortunately. but every grand final week we get together and it's just so very, very special. Now, let's try and get this right, Billy. Is there something missing in your footy career that's so near yet so far?
Well, obviously, you would have. I'm one of those. I've read a lot of Bart Cummings' books, and
yeah,
you do look to the future. But yeah, that was disappointing to play in four losing and one drawn grand final. Yeah, you do have flashbacks. Could I have done this or done that? But you just move. You move on in life. And look, those times under Tommy Hafey at Collingwood, the great memories. They're terrific memories, and the players that I played with, I admire them, respect them, and when we run into each other, it's really fantastic. I mean, what's to be? You just got to move on in life, and you give it your best shot. It didn't work out, so you just move on.
We're going to take a break, folks, and I can just tell you, I'm really, really glad we're talking to Billy Picken, one of the great characters, but one of the real champions of the game in the 70s at Victoria Park. You can check us out on Twitter at Rex Footy Live, Billy, and the only thing that Twitters around here is my canary, but anyhow, this is modern life. And we're going to take a break, folks, and this is your football life for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Dream rises to the top. He is an absolute legend of the game.
You're listening to This Is Your Football Life with Rex Hunt for Tobin Brothers Funerals. Celebrating lives.
Billy Pickin. Watch out, Billy's coming through. And I can tell you what, as a centre forward, you knew you were playing against one of the greats of the game. During the break, Billy Pickin, I came up with the Macedonian marvel, Peter Dacos. Peter Moore, who won Brownlows both at Collingwood and Melbourne. Peter McKenna, one of the straightest kicks I've ever seen when Price just put it on his chest. And Len Thompson, you couldn't help but walk tall when you first walked into Victoria Park, surely.
No, it was great. It was great. The VFL footballers I idolised, and suddenly I was getting changed in the same room as them. So, and you know how professional they were. Len Thompson was super professional, and so were the Richardson brothers and Barry Price. Really into fitness and led by example.
They say, folks, that a footballer is remembered for the way that he performs in big games. Number one. And then the extension of that is in finals. And our guest today, Billy Pickin, won the award for Collingwood's best finals player four times. And his spectacular marking meant that no centre-half forward could expect an easy time. I know it doesn't make up for premierships, but when the big stage was there, Billy, you were ready to perform.
Yeah, probably a bit of luck, but...
no luck, yeah. Billy. No luck. Cut that out.
Yeah, I used to build myself up for the final series. You'd do extra training and, it was just exciting. Finals time was exciting and, you were hoping for the ultimate, but you just give it your best shot.
Before Tommy Hafey passed on, a lot of the premiership players who were his charges, and not only his charges, Billy, but dear friends... We sat around the hospital at Cabrini Hospital and the hospital bed at Cabrini, and we discussed things. And my goodness me, we always thought that if we could beat Collingwood at Collingwood, it was just a fantastic thing. But when Tommy went to Collingwood, he reminded us that he thought you were the most unfit group of players that he'd ever seen. And is that highlighted by when Murray Wiedemann coached you to the Wooden Spoon in 76, the next year you played in two grand finals? Was that overstating the point of fitness? And please explain.
Yeah, he was big on fitness, Tommy. Look, 76, we had heaps of injuries. We lost a lot of close games. I think footballers out there will know that when you're struggling, everything goes wrong. And that's what happened in 76. But he came to us in 77, Tommy, and... he was super professional. We trained really hard. And I think for a number of years, we never lost two games in a row.
No.
So you knew if you lost a game, the next week training was going to be pretty severe. So you made sure you didn't. But no, he's just a wonderful man.
Yeah.
Just a superstar. I mean, when he was passing away, I just I didn't go and see him, thinking, well, he'll just get over this.
Yeah.
That's Tommy Hafey. He lives to his 150.
He does. He can't hit him. Can't kill him with a hammer. And it was just amazing. Let's get to 1984. You were not wanted, but things didn't go right at Victoria Park. And for a transfer fee of $155,000, you went to Sydney. And putting it in context for the young listeners out there, Billy Pickin, $80,000 would buy you a good house in Melbourne back in 84. $155,000 was a humongous amount of money.
Yeah, it wasn't, when you think about it. But, I'd had 10 years at Collingwood, and my last year I won the best and fairest, but I just wanted a change and went to Sydney. They had young player. Warwick Capper was just starting, and David Rees-Jones. I had the great Barry Round. Things just weren't right there, as far as professionalism, as far as facilities, all that sort of stuff. I mean,
yeah.
we trained on ordinary grounds. And it wasn't until Barassi got there that he shook things up. I know Tommy and Edelston before that, they really had a big bearing, but you can see now with the facilities they've got and obviously the culture, you can see why the Sydney Swans is so successful.
Yeah. you and your wife have got two boys, Marcus, who played, you know, 25 games for Brisbane, and Liam, who's just currently starring at all points of the ground for the Western Bulldogs. Tell us a bit about the kids, and is there any pressure? Was there any pressure on those young kids because their name happened to be Picken?
I don't think so, because we lived in Tasmania for a while, for 2 or 3 years, and no, not really. They just took it up. I've got another son, Sean, who enjoys his footy but doesn't take it very seriously. But the other two were Marcus was, you know, like he played in Ballarat Rebels in the TAC Cup and played for Brisbane and unfortunately hurt his knee, so that sort of curtailed him. But Liam was always a determined type, but, you know, it took him until he was 22 to get on a rookie list. So, you know, he had a pretty tough start to it all, but he's just kept plugging away. And I think this is his eighth year at the Bulldogs.
Just an inspiration.
Yeah, he just loves the place.
His performance across the Nullarbor a couple of weeks ago, you know, in the upset against West Coast Eagles was sensational. Now, in 1978, when I retired, you married Julie Mugovan from Killarney. I fished at Killarney Beach for those King George Whiting.
Yeah.
And her sister, Mary, married Brian Brown, and they had Jonathan. You're a racing man. Goodness me, at the yearling sales, they would have bought a pretty good price, the breeding of those kids.
There's a lot of Irish in it. Julie's father, I think he won the mile at Stawell, so he's a great athlete. And Julie's brother, Noel, played for Richmond and Fitzroy.
Yeah, and after a couple of years across Bass Strait playing over there, you and your wife settled back at Hamilton on a cattle farm, and that's where the young man was born. Tell us a little bit about his love for the game, and can you relate it to some of the things you did, particularly in a country town?
Yeah, he's always loved his sport, Liam. He was, you know, pretty handy as a cricketer too here with with Hamilton College. And, yeah, he was really good here in the juniors. He was only small and light. And he played a few games with Ballarat Rebels in the under-18 competition, but he came back here in his last year and played in the finals for Hamilton, and they won a grand final, and I think he kicked a few goals in that. So
he
was just a late maturer. Unfortunately, you know, he just didn't sort of get the chance. He was a late maturer. He was injured for about a year as well when he was playing junior, so he had a very stunted junior career, but he loved the game. I had the pleasure of coaching him for a couple of years in Hamilton under 18s, and it was pretty handy having a bloke like him playing for me. So he was always determined, great attitude, works hard, and look, he loves the Bulldogs. He's really honoured to play there, and he just loves the environment, and he can see how the club's growing and all that sort of stuff.
It's great to get into the inner sanctum of the mind of Billy Picken, one of the game's greats. And when the history of the game is written, Billy Boy will take his rightful place. The last question from me is an if. And as we know in our life, Billy, there's a lot of ifs. If Liam was to go on and win a premiership with the Western Bulldogs, would that just fill some of the void of the disappointment in 4 losing grand finals at Collingwood?
There's no doubt about that. Yeah, no doubt. It'd be the Bulldogs at Liam, and the Bulldogs deserve success, and they'll give it their best shot the next few weeks.
Gee, they play with some guts and determination. I just want to say, and I don't want to embarrass you again, that you know, I make lists, and long lists and short lists, and we've been after you for a while. You've had a great career, but also a wonderful contribution to thoroughbred racing and to the rural community of Western Victoria. I just want to say, Billy Picken, and it's been my honour to go back and find out some of the intricacies of what made you, in my terms, a champion player, and we thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Roy. Thanks for that, Rex.
If you'd like to hear the extended version of this interview, check out facebook.com/ Tobin Brothers Funerals. Or, folks, you can follow us on Twitter at RexFootyLife. And this has been This Is Your Football Life. Thanks to Tobin Brothers, celebrating lives.
It's Tyre Power's Big Footy Final Sale. To kick things off, you can get the power to buy three and get one free on selected Toyo passenger car and SUV tyres. Tyre Power's Big Footy Final Sale can't last. Visit tyrepower.com.au now.